10-10. Fitzhenry and Mittbuster and Milan native as they return to the...
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning, the day after some nice racing across the country. And we'll take a look at some of those races this morning. Before we do that, let me remind you some of the promotions here at Capital OTB. Today is an NFL day. Here at the Clubhouse Racebook, we'd love to have you come on down and stop by and enjoy NFL football action and racing action as well. That happens every day throughout the NFL season. NFL Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. That's the same location that I want to alert you to that we will have a bankroll coming up next Thursday, New Year's Eve, right here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, put your name in the hat. Folks will be randomly selected to participate on Thursday afternoon right here at the Clubhouse Racebook with the bankroll. I have got to get it going. The last couple of bankrolls, I admit, I have kind of whiffed. And there were a couple of days where I went back, and whenever I do the bankrolls and things don't go well, I kind of go back and where could I have changed things up? And it was a couple of those days where I felt I couldn't have changed anything up. The horses that were getting it done just weren't in my mix. I was close, you know, they were the kind where played a triple and ran first, second, and fourth. And so there was a few near misses, but we will try to right the ship and turn things around on Thursday. So come on down and have some fun with us here at the Clubhouse Racebook for a live bankroll, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, New Year's Eve. So let's see if we can end 2020 with a kind of a highlight, because as everybody agrees, we're looking forward to putting this year in the rearview mirror and over the next few months kind of hopefully getting back to some sense of normalcy. All right, on today's show, again, we'll take a look at some of the stakes action from yesterday, recapping as we usually do, a little bit of handicapping coming up a little bit later on. And then a little bit past the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Of course, they do a great job of covering racing in the Mid-Atlantic region, which includes, of course, Laurel. And Laurel had a really nice stakes card yesterday. Slew of stakes, some nice two-year-old action on the stakes side, and more. And we'll hit on that with Frank. Frank was at Laurel yesterday. So, again, past the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at some of that Laurel stakes action. There are wrapping up their meet. They have a couple of days left today and Thursday, and it's going to be fun to see how the trainers battle shakes out. Brittany Russell, who has just been on fire down there, she's a couple of ticks below 50% at this point, spent most of the meet at 50% or over, but she's locked in battle with Claudio Gonzalez, another high percentage guy, and after yesterday, Brittany is one behind. So over the next couple of days, it'll be interesting to see how the trainers battle shakes out at Laurel as well. And they both played into some of the stakes action yesterday. But let's kick things off with what we talked about quite a bit yesterday. And hopefully you were tuned in and watching and enjoying that stakes action on the opening day card from Santa Anita, the traditional day after Christmas Boxing Day card, La Brea, Malibu, San Antonio, and more. I was hyping it all day long. And I have to admit, it was a little bit disappointing. Not performances by the winners and some storylines and whatnot, but on those kind of situations, you want the big names to step up and perform, and there were two or three disappointments certainly amongst the day, and one of those, and we'll watch the stretch run in the Malibu, and it was a little bit disappointing, but I will admit, Charlatan was fabulous, and so that was not disappointing. But you were waiting for that showdown, Charlatan and Nashville, and Nashville did his part early, broke from the gate, took the lead, and it looked like things were setting up with Charlatan sitting just off Nashville. Charlatan's going to be the number four horse. Nashville is going to be the number three horse. But as they turn for home, you can see Charlatan hits the gas pedal and just blows on by Nashville. But worse, Nashville just kind of backs up and winds up fourth. So again, it was a little bit disappointing in that we didn't get the showdown in the stretch that you were hoping for. But boy, this was a comeback from Charlatan. No question about it. Charlatan comes up with a 107 buyer figure. So just really hadn't been seen since the win and the disqualification in the Arkansas Derby back in the beginning of May. That was career start number three. So this was off of May to late December, early May to late December layoff. How's he going to come back? Phenomenally. That's how he's going to come back. 107 buyer. Chart margin was 4.5 lengths. He was the second favorite at 8-5. At 6-5, Nashville. A little bit disappointing. Express Train at 16-1 runs second. Collusion runs third. Also disappointing. The other two kind of name horses in the field, who they were behind, if you were looking in handicapping, they were behind Nashville and Charlatan, but still, name horses, as I say, Thousand Words and Independence Hall, they wind up Independence Hall fifth, Thousand Words sixth in the field of six, so they were disappointing as well. Fourth, fifth, and sixth, Nashville, Independence Hall, Thousand Words. So of the four kind of name horses in there, only Charlatan ran, and he ran. Just reading Jay Pribman's follow-up in the Daily Racing Form, this was the 16th grade one of 2020 for Bob Baffert. Four more than Chad Brown has fired this year. Brad Cox third with seven. And Pribman article quoted Baffert as saying, this is one of the best years I've ever had. It's been a roller coaster. So, again, this year, even if you have a big year, you have to look back and kind of have mixed emotions about the whole year. Baffert also commented on how unfortunate it was. John White said it yesterday. I said it back at Saratoga. Just unfortunate that some of the big performances we had up at Saratoga, I lamented the same thing. But yesterday, Santa Anita, traditionally one of their big days, and Baffert commented, it's a shame fans couldn't be here. Because typically opening day at Santa Anita, day after Christmas, you get 30 or 40,000 people showing up, big performance like that. As I say, it was disappointing we didn't get the showdown, but that was some performance to put an exclamation point on the year for the year Bob Baffert has had and for the promise going forward as a four-year-old for Charlatan now. He's going to be fun to watch. And it's going to be very interesting to see what's up next for Nashville and if we get a rebound. That was a head scratcher. I mean, went out and set some legitimate fractions, but boy, just kind of a fade job in the stretch was a little bit disappointing from that one. All right, let's take a look at some of the other stakes action yesterday. We'll go back to the American Oaks. And again, I was looking for the rebound from sharing, getting back with the three-year-olds after a close-up fourth in the Matriarch against Older. But sharing the number nine horse, John Velasquez on board for Grand Motion. You can see the number nine just can't really get it going. Looks in the stretch to you think here, oh, yeah, and then just can't get it going. And just saves third by a nose. But the winner is Duopoly for Chad Brown, who pretty much took him all the way around. I had that one right underneath, so that wasn't a shock. Going to Vegas at 14-1, running second was maybe a little surprising. But as I say, sharing running third, a little bit disappointing in there. But Duopoly, it was Chad Brown and Klarovich. They had a couple of runners in there, including Capital Structure. Capital Structure winds up running fifth. But Duopoly, as I say, I had that one right underneath. Got 6-1 from a 4-1 morning line. And it was a nice performance. It was career start number six, career win number four for Duopoly, coming out of a win in the Winter Memories at Aqueduct. So, you know, given it was Chad Klarovich coming out of a stakes win, three wins and five starts already. A little bit surprising that you got the 6-1 price, $14 even for Duopoly with the win. Sharing went off as the 8-5 favorite. And again, looked in the stretch to be on the verge of getting in gear and maybe going on by. And just as you thought that, you realize, now she's spinning her wheels a little bit. So again, it was another little bit of a disappointing performance from one of the big names on the day. Not to take anything away from Duopoly, because this is now is a nice about-to-turn four-year-old turf filly from Chad and Klarovich, putting a grade one on the resume. So, you know, again, it was a day where you couldn't take anything away from the winners, but there was some of the name horses that was just a little bit disappointing on these big days in these big races. You're hoping you see the performances that kind of, well, you're waiting for the big horses and the big performances. That's what you want to see on these days. So again, with Nashville sharing, a little bit disappointing in those two races, American Oaks and the Malibu. Let's go back to the La Brea. And in here, Finite was the one I was taking a look at. And Finite was, in fact, the 2-1 favorite. Runs fourth. So again, another disappointing performance by the horse folks were expecting. Finite's the number 5 horse. The winner is going to be number 9, Fair Maiden, 20-1. Over number 10, Golden Principle, 12-1. Merneith at 7-2 runs third, and Finite runs fourth. But boy, Fair Maiden looks pretty good in here, getting it done for Owen Hardy and Godolphin. This is a horse that in 7 starts had 3 wins and had shown some ability last year as a 2-year-old. Won the Catch a Glimpse up at Woodbine and only the 3rd career start. Then just missed an Natalma up at Woodbine. They tried the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf, and the horse just never was in there. It was rank and never showed up. A couple of starts this year, won an optional claimer to start the season, which didn't get started for various reasons until the middle of September. Then tried a stakes race last time and ran fourth. Those last two races were on the dirt. The early starts, as evidenced by Breeders' Cup Filly Turf, Natalma and whatnot, were on the turf. So moved to the dirt this year. Yesterday's La Brea was on the dirt. As I say, went off at 20-1 from a 12-1 morning line. And given what we saw in the numbers we saw so far, that was probably legitimate. But third start back, that may have been some of the tonic. Gets it done there. It was also notable reading the follow-ups. Ricky Gonzalez was the jockey, and he had been, from what I read, based up in Northern California, which is kind of on a pause right now. It's relocated fairly recently, I think, down to Southern California, and it turns out to be a great move for jockey Ricky Gonzalez, who winds up with his first Grade 1 victory, getting it done on the $43.20 Fair Maiden yesterday for, again, Owen Hardy and Godolphin. In there. Golden Principle, the 12-1 shot that ran second, was a Bob Baffert runner, coming off of a win and an optional claimer. So, well, of course, you probably could have played around with. I mean, it just was tough to pull the trigger on those two, given some of the other horses like Finite that was in there. Himiko, again, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for Bob Baffert. Merneith for Baffert as well. So there were other Bafferts that were a little more attractive, but Golden Principle, as I suppose the other Baffert, 12-1, interesting and maybe playable in there. And you wound up, what'd you get for the exacta for a buck paid, $247 in there with Fair Maiden over Golden Prospect. But again, it was another, with Finite, another little bit of a disappointing performance from the horse that seemed kind of logical and had some oomph on the resume already to root for. And so again, those 3 grade ones there. With horses that you were kind of hoping were going to step up and juice up the day. They were a little bit disappointing. But again, not to take anything away from the winner, the nice storyline with Ricky Gonzalez getting his first Grade 1. Go back to Kendrick getting his first Grade 1 a few weeks ago in New York. So we have had a couple of storylines like that recently. San Antonio, yet another event where the logicals were not so logical as they turned into the stretch. The San Antonio, the favorite was Mucho Gusto at 1-2. At 1-2, winds up fourth. And at 15-1 as the second longest price on the board, it's Kiss Today Goodbye, the number 2 horse. And you can see the 2 sitting fourth here, but getting in gear and just making a nice late run under Mike Smith to get it done, as I say, at 15-1, $33.80. The price there. Idle, who we talked about, John White, runs second, and Take the 101 at 29-1, the rank outsider, runs third. Mucho Gusto, fourth. Midcourt runs fifth. There were a couple of notable scratches in there. Combatant and Sharp Samurai dropped out of the race before it was run. They were scratched, early scratches. That changed the complexion, perhaps, of the betting a little bit, which I think allowed Idle to take the action at 4-1 as the second choice, because John White and I were talking about that horse yesterday. John pointed the horse out and said, yeah, maybe a little under the radar is Idle. 5-1 on the morning line, and I thought, yeah, I think you may get some value with Idle. But again, with the two scratches, that horse took a little action and went off as the second choice. Looked pretty good. Wound up a close-up second, half a length behind Kiss Today Goodbye. And again, take the 101 running third. But Kiss Today Goodbye under Mike Smith is a horse that was coming out of an optional claiming win last time at Del Mar. Had run well in the Shared Belief early in the Del Mar meet. A close-up third behind Thousand Words and Honor AP. So it's a horse that had, at 34-1. It's a horse who had shown some flashes of talent at various points and looked pretty good coming down the stretch. Again, Mike Smith got the horse in gear and blew by the front runners to get that half-length victory at a big price with Mucho Gusto. Yeah, a little bit disappointing in there. Very disappointing. And again, I put Mucho Gusto. I said yesterday, I looked for an alternative to Mucho Gusto because the horse had been on the sidelines since the Saudi Cup, but 3-for-3 at Santa Anita. It looked like the workouts were touting the horse as being ready off the layoff. But again, a little bit disappointing at 1-2 running fourth in a field of six yesterday for Mucho Gusto. All right, let's move back on the card yet again, and we will go to – oh, and I should note – our buyers. I said Charlatan had a 107. Duopoly in the American Oaks was a 95 buyer. Fair Maiden in the La Brea was a 92. And Kiss Today Goodbye, a nice 98 in the San Antonio. Coming up with a 97 in the Mathis Brothers. Here we have finally a favorite winning one of the stakes races on the card yesterday. But not as much of a name, certainly, as, Nashville or Mucho Gusto. But Smooth Like Straight went off as the 4-5 favorite in the Mathis Brothers Mile, the 5-horse. I took a little shot with the number 6 Field Pass. I thought those were the two, Field Pass and Smooth Like Straight. John White was on yesterday, and he felt pretty confident on Smooth Like Straight. It, however, is a ding-dong battle with Storm the Court, who I didn't like at all. I just have never been a fan of this horse, going back to the win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But Storm the Court, pretty good second there. And as you can see, a nice little battle for third and fourth as well. Field Pass came out on the short end of that, running fourth. It was Smooth Like Straight, Storm the Court, Whisper Knot, and Field Pass. At 4-5, though, Smooth Like Straight does get it done. Came out of a close-up second place finish in the Hollywood Derby behind Domestic Spending last time. Prior to that, had won the Twilight Derby over Scardo and Field Pass, a couple of competitors from yesterday. But Umberto Raspoli, again, the jock that we talked about with John White yesterday, kind of a guy who has been notable now for a while out in Southern California. If you don't follow Southern California racing, you know, make note of that name, Raspoli, because if you ever are looking out on big days like this, he's become one of the guys you have to pay attention to. And I noted with John yesterday, it'd be interesting to see, now that he is becoming a little more of a name, I would expect, and in a different year, that's played into it, I'm sure, too. He'll be a guy who will pop around for big stakes races around the country, and that'll be fun to see what he does as he kind of moves around and I would think becomes more on the radar for all of us as racing fans. But he did get it done yesterday, Umberto Raspoli, on Smooth Like Straight in the Mathis Brothers Mile. All right, let's move on to a couple of races yesterday at Gulfstream, the Tropical Park Oaks and the Tropical Park Derby, as the names suggest, three-year-olds, fillies on the grass, three-year-old males on the grass in the Derby side of things. We'll start things out looking at the Tropical Park Oaks. I like Stunning Sky in here. The betting public also, yeah, even money, just a little over even money. Stunning Sky, however, could wind up no better than fifth in the field of 10. The horse I had underneath, however, Vigilante's Way, the Shug horse, the number 4, does get it done. Takes him all the way around under Julien Le Perreau at 5-2. So you got a nice little price there on a horse who really just never had any, if you play this one. You were not worried at all. Number 12, More Than Usual, second. Speak to Me of Summer, another player in the field. Number 10 runs third. And Mo of the West runs fourth. Stunning Sky, as I say, is the favorite, runs fifth. Vigilante Way was the second choice at 5-2. Career start number 8, career win number 4. First stakes victory for the horse, had been stakes placed in a couple of starts prior to that, and looked like a logical contender in here, and puts a nice little exclamation point on the 3-year-old season for Shug. So you'd think with the calendar turning, they have some nice potential going forward for this one. Gets it done. $7 even is the price there for Vigilante's Way. Again, in a nice little performance in the Tropical Park Oaks. Nice full field of 10, and gets it done at a $7 price in the Tropical Park Oaks. We'll move on to the Tropical Park Derby. On the boys' side of things, this one was the favorite. If you watched Handicapper Support yesterday, Brian Netto took a look at Gulfstream, and he made Colonel Liam his best bet during the afternoon. As I handicapped the race, I also landed on Colonel Liam, as did the betting public. But some decent value there at 6-5 for a Pletcher runner that had shown a little bit of potential, certainly, in only 4 career starts prior, and now kind of broke through with a nice win to cap off the 3-year-old season. And this is a pretty nice looking win. Pulls away, the chart margin winds up to be 3.25. Don Juan Kitten, who I thought was a player at 7-1, runs second. Summer to Remember, the number one horse, runs third. And By Your Side runs fourth in there. Fancy Liquor, who, yeah, I had right underneath. I had Don Juan Kitten in the third spot. So it was top pick over third pick for the Exacta, which was okay. You know, he got about $23 and change for the Exacta in there with a $4 horse on top. I had Colonel Liam on top, Don Juan Kitten in the third slot, and they bookended Fancy Liquor, who the betting public also made the second choice at 5-2. But that one, a little bit of a disappointing fifth. Maybe more disappointing, though, was Sol Volante. Getting back to the turf, 4-1 third choice. Sol Volante winds up sixth in the field of 10. Coming out of a poor performance in the Kentucky Derby, they get back to the turf with a horse that started the career on the turf and showed some nice promise there. But then they went to the dirt, and then they had a promising 3-year-old on the dirt, and Kentucky Derby was out there. But getting back to the turf yesterday, Sol Volante, again, a little bit of a disappointment, running sixth in the field of 10. All right, that takes you through some of the stakes action yesterday. And as I noted, a little bit later, we will be joined by Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com, because they had a very nice stakes day yesterday at Laurel. So we'll hit on those also. But in the meantime, we'll take a break when we come back. I had a note about the San Antonio. This is a nice little side note about the San Antonio. The Exacta with Kiss Today Goodbye and Idol. That Exacta, the only 2 3-year-olds in the field. So if you kind of stepped up and took that angle, you wound up for a buck. You wound up with about $70 Exacta. The two 3-year-olds in the field of 6 wind up combining for the Exacta in the San Antonio, which, again, I thought was a nice little asterisk on the results in the San Antonio yesterday. But as noted, a little bit later, be joined by Frank Vespi. We'll recap some of the action, stakes action, nice stakes action yesterday at Laurel. But in the meantime, we'll take a break, come back, do a little handicapping, and take a look, maybe a little Tampa for Saturday afternoon. We'll give you some ideas there. So we'll take a break, come back with more Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays. past performances, and live streaming. Wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Again, thanks for joining us. Again, I'll take a little look at Tampa. Tampa yesterday got off to a good start. I personally played the pick four, had a nice little pick four. If you were looking at the sheet or watching OTB Live yesterday, that early pick four included the Mike Deeney horse that was moving over to the turf that I thought was intriguing. Put that one on top at $20 and had the cold exacta for, I want to say, 110, something like that. But again, I have that early pick three, which paid pretty well because of that $20 horse. So I thought, well, let's see if we can kind of keep things rolling at Tampa, and we'll go early pick four again today, give you some ideas there. I haven't seen scratches or anything yet, so take that into account. We'll have to take a look at that as the app. We'll get to that, you know, this afternoon with OTB Live. But pick four today at Tampa kicks off. The early pick four in race number two, 10,000 claimers going 3/4 of a mile. I'll go 3, 4, 6, and 7. I'll put Kalu on top. Nice close-up third-place finish last time. I mean, a very close-up third-place finish. It was probably against a little bit of a saltier bunch. This horse was claimed 3 starts back over at Gulfstream. Subsequently also made a trainer change on the move over to Tampa. And again, the move to Tampa proved fruitful again. This is a horse that has a pretty good record overall at Tampa. Got back to Tampa last time and had a just miss, as I say, against a little saltier. So logical here class-wise and with the move to Tampa, second start of the season at Tampa. Second slot, we'll look at Native Hawk. Comes down from Thistle Down. But again, another one, you go down the page or you look at the record box, and you can see this horse runs very well at Tampa. 9 exacta finishes and 15 starts. So I think this horse will appreciate the return to the west coast of Florida, and class-wise is going to fit well. And Perfetto, it's Gerald Bennett, Sammy Camacho, 8-1 morning line. I just, and a horse that's moving up a little bit, but it's Camacho and Bennett, and with a potentially a little bit of a price, this could be an interesting way to start the early pick four, because that duo is certainly, anytime they're in a race, you have to kind of put some check marks next to them and give them the consideration they are due. Another horse that likes Tampa, 7 exacta finishes in 16 starts at Tampa, including a win last time on the move to Tampa for this season. It was against lesser, but again, I wouldn't ignore this team and a decent little price to potentially kick off a pick four. So the second at Tampa, I have a 3, 4, 6, and 7. Third race at Tampa, second leg of that early pick four. Maiden 8-10 claimers going 6.5. I have it 4, 6, 2, and 7. Capture Me Now on top. It's Gerald Bennett and Sammy Camacho. This one a little bit of a shorter price on the morning line, and this is a maiden who has had plenty of opportunities and hasn't gotten it done. These types don't thrill me. If you watch enough, you know, I just, it's hard to pull the trigger on this kind. But eventually, they can find a field they can get through. And this seems to potentially be that situation for Capture Me Now. Some class relief, getting a turf to dirt move that could be a little bit intriguing. So I'll put that one on top with the appropriate trepidation. Teton Thigh in the second spot. Again, this is a horse that has shown a little bit of something, but it's had 11 tries and hasn't gotten it done. So I'll land there with the same amount of trepidation. This is the race that in the sequence is going to be a little bit of a head scratcher and has the potential to blow the thing up, because these are the kind of races where some horse may just come out and feel their oats this afternoon and run away and hide from this bunch. And I'm not thrilled, again, that I have a 13-time loser and an 11-time loser on top. But I did. This is the kind of race where you can go for the fresh face. And so Indy Princess Coco in the mix for me. Hasn't shown a whole lot in the workouts. The October 20th workout was okay, but then there's a break between October 20 and December 13th. So there are question marks abounding for this one as well. But as I say, it is a fresh face, and in this kind of race, you can do worse than taking a look in that direction. Drills Valentine is more lightly raced than the top two, has only had four starts and has yet to have a win, but did come back from a layoff last time and showed some early speed before fading. Maybe we'll benefit from that. And again, being more lightly raced than the top two has some attraction on that factor alone. So again, it's a race where it's going to be a little bit of a roll of the dice, but 4, 6, 2, and 7 in the third at Tampa. Race number four at Tampa this afternoon. Maiden 16 Claimers going 6 furlongs. I have it 5, 1, 7, and 4. Union Appreciation on top. Comes down from Woodbine. And I've said it for a couple weeks now as the Woodbine shippers have shipped around. It's going to be interesting to see how they play out at Aqueduct because that's a little bit of a different scenario. But the Florida tracks, Gulfstream the past couple of years, they've done okay. And at Tampa, I want to say the last year or so, they've done okay as well. We'll see, because there is the surface switch here that is going to be a concern. But the horse is getting some notable class relief that may mitigate the surface switch a little bit. So I'll put Union Appreciation on top with some question marks. He's Royalty in the second spot. The seasonal debut, two back, was pretty good. And then last time, still an okay second, a well-beaten second, and the number went backwards a little bit. But I think in this third start back could be a little intriguing as well and may prove to be formidable in with, you know, a relatively weak bunch. Rogue Rage, 9 tries so far, hasn't gotten it done. But the last was arguably the best yet. So maybe a horse that's just, you know, on the right move as far as the form cycle. So given what we saw last time, we'll put that one in our top three and the fourth at Tampa, 5, 1, 7, and 4. And Tampa's fifth race on the grass for maiden 32 claimers. I have it 7, 4, 3, and 2. I'll put Spin Class on top. Goes out for Tim Ham. Off a good close-up second-place finish last time with a solid buyer figure. Both of the turf races were pretty good, but the last was clearly the best. So another one that just may be in a good spot right now as far as form. Makes sense as the 8-5 morning line favorite. I mentioned earlier yesterday we had the price in that early pick four from the Mike Deeney horse. Another potential Mike Deeney interesting runner here with Dixie Darling, the number four. First couple of starts of the career, they weren't much. Showed some improvements, certainly, start one to start two, with a move from a dirt sprint to two turns on the turf. And did have a little bit of a bit of trouble last time. So now the third start, back to two turns on the turf, and what I think is a confident move up the claiming ladder. By Treasure Beach, I mentioned before, Treasure Beach is interesting as kind of a win early sire that maybe floats under the radar a little bit. So 6-1 on the morning line. I think we'll get a little bit of value here. And so Dixieland Darling in my mix for the that early pick four play to maybe, as I say, add some value to the play. And then Beach Chick in the third spot comes from the west coast of the state and is getting not only some venue relief on the move to the west coast, but pretty much some price relief. Two starts back was in for a $25,000 tag, but the other four races were either made special weight or a couple of stakes races. So I think this one, again, at Tampa, going against 32 maiden claimers, will be competitive with this bunch this afternoon. So in the fifth at Tampa, 7, 4, 3, and 2. So there are some ideas that early pick four at Tampa. And again, I had a little luck there yesterday with that early pick four, so we'll see if we can put a couple of days together where that all works out. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. We'll see how it plays out this afternoon. And, of course, we'll be back this afternoon to talk about it live on OTB Live. All right, let's head to a break. And when we come back, we will shift our attention. As noted earlier, great stakes card yesterday at Laurel. We'll be joined by Frank Vespi from the Racing Biz. He was at Laurel yesterday, so we'll get some firsthand account and knowledge of all the stakes action at Laurel on yesterday's card, yesterday's Saturday card down in Maryland. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Horses racing, people betting. It's been going on since before the Roman Empire. And the fastest horse is still the one that wins. Where there's gambling, there's cheating. That hasn't changed either. What has changed are the tools used to combat doping and cheaters. Today, professional horse racing operates under an aggressive anti-doping program, testing labs on par with the Olympics, and standards tougher than human sport. For 85 years, the Association of Racing Commissioners International has fought for safe horses and honest sport. ARCI standards form the basis for the rules of racing. Today, they call for a new expanded program to protect all horses, young and old. To join with them or learn more, visit ARCI.com.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Whenever he's on, I tout swinging by the Racing Biz to catch up on action in the Mid-Atlantic region, and that includes, obviously, Laurel. Frank was there yesterday, so I thought we'd reach out and kind of recap a really nice stakes day. Boy, Laurel has a great stakes schedule during the winter. Certainly has been that way over the past few years, and this was part of it yesterday, so I thought we'd reach out and recap a little bit. Frank, good morning.
Morning, Seth. Happy holidays.
Same to you. And remind me, Laurel right now, is it owners and trainers? Is it limited fans? What's the situation right now?
It's no fans right now. Okay. It's limited, you know, with owners, trainers.
Yeah.
And it's not great. Things aren't great, but the racing was great. So
it really was. And before we get into the stakes action from yesterday, I want to touch on one of the fun stories that will happen today and Thursday, and kind of an interesting story. Over, I was looking down your Twitter feed, and you commented on it a few weeks ago, and it's just continued to play out. And that's Brittany Russell, who is a couple of ticks below a coin flip right now. But really, as I've handicapped on the afternoon show some Laurel over the past couple of months, she's been over 50% at the meet. And now she comes into the last couple of days, and I pulled up the stats from the end of the day yesterday, and she is now one behind Claudio Gonzalez, 24 wins to 23 wins with 2 days left in the meet. That trainer's battle is going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, she's 23 for 48 at the meet, so that's 48%. It's insane. And, you know, she's got a good, you know, she's got a number of nice horses in the stable, and just about everything she sends out is running really, really well right now. She won another stake yesterday with Where She Told Me to Go. And, you know, you kind of have to believe that Claudio's going to win the neat title. He's sent out 120 starters to her 48, and he's got a one-win lead. I mean, at some point the volume catches up, you think, but, I mean, it's just it's been a crazy good meet for her.
And she's been at it like a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I mean, she worked for Brad Cox. She, you know, did a couple of, she kind of did the stint. And then, but she's only been on her own for, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 years at this point. And when she started, you know, she kind of had one main owner, and then that owner moved on, as owners do. And you kind of looked and said, gee, I wonder what's going to happen now. And what happened now is, she got a whole bunch of new owners. The best horse she had is a horse she bought for $5,000 or $6,000. That's Hello Beautiful, who's just, you know, who's a rocket ship, and probably if she holds together, we'll see her in the Fritching in February. So she's done well buying horses, you know, buying horses with partners on the cheap. And now she's attracted, you know, she's got Where She Told Me to Go, I think, is owned by Madicat and others. So, you know, she's starting to attract those sorts of names, which means if she can keep it going, she's going to have access to some really good horses.
Yeah, I've noted some of those notable owners being part of her horses over the past couple of months. So, yeah, she is attracting, certainly, as you would expect, some attention given the situation. It'll be interesting to watch over the next couple of days. Again, the meet obviously coming to the end at the end of the year. So that means today's card and Thursday's card to sort things out between her and Claudio Gonzalez. All right, let's get to yesterday. Really nice stakes card. It kicked off in race number one. This is a race that I always find a lot of fun, the Heft. Two-year-old sprinting 7 furlongs and typically produces some runners that are fun to watch when the calendar page turns to make them three-year-olds in a week or so. And I don't think that's going to be any exception this year. The favorite was No Sense at 3-5, and No Sense came in 3 wins and 4 career starts. No Sense is the number 4 horse and does get it done. A little bit of a ding-dong battle, though. Kenny Had a Notion winds up 2nd. And Singlino winds up 3rd in here. But the chart margin is only a neck. But, again, running the record now to 4 wins and 5 starts. A nice performance in the Heft for No Sense.
Yeah, it really was. And this is kind of a neat horse. He's a Jersey bred, not a ton of those around. And he's actually owned by a homebred for Isabel Di Tommaso and Hope Jones, who are the Haskell sisters. So, kind of a Jersey racing royalty horse here, and he's good. And that was a terrific effort from Kenny Had a Notion, who looked absolutely dead at the head of the lane when Singlino came to him, and not only came back to, you know, beat Singlino, was in the photo to win the whole thing. So really good effort from him. But No Sense is, you know, they're going to have some fun with this guy. I mean, I don't know, you know, he's a Golden Sense, so I don't know, his scope may not be far enough to, you know, be in the biggest races, but there's a lot of nice 6 and 7 furlong races that you can make some hay in with a horse like this.
Yeah, homebred for, as you say, Tommaso and Jones, and you know, being that from the Haskell family, started the career over at Monmouth going into the summer and fall, but then won the Lewis at Laurel coming into this, and now put the Heft on the resume. Going to be interesting to see what they do plan to do. You know, you have a nice three-year-old. You would think at some point they'll give it a shot to stretch out, but the three-year-old season also has plenty of opportunity sprinting if you wind up with only a good, and I say only, but with a good three-year-old sprinter. So it'll be fun to see what they do decide to do going forward with No Sense.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Cal Lynch has had horses sort of on the Derby trail before, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think you're right. At some point, you got to try 2 turns just to try it, because who knows, and kind of see where you are at that point. So, but as you say, I mean, there's lots of good things you can do with a horse like this, even if you know, two turns is beyond his scope.
Yeah.
So, it should be fun to watch.
No sense. Clearly one to keep in mind. A name to keep on our radar going into 2021. On the girls' side, sprinting, it was the Gin Talking. Scratch-reduced field, but Street Loot, the winner, went off as the 2-5 favorite. So another name worth watching. She had come in with a record of 4 wins in 5 career starts, including a couple of stakes victories coming into this. Her only blemish, a near miss in the Maryland Millions Lassie. So she came in showing flashes of talent clearly and validated that. But, again, had to work for it a little bit. The victory, only a chart margin of a nose. We're watching the stretch run here, and it is Fraudulent Charge getting up to make it kind of interesting under the wire, but Street Loot does hold on under the X-Man.
Yeah, Street Loot is, she's a terrific horse. You know, she's won 5 out of 6. She's won 4 stakes. She just got pipped at the wire in the Maryland Million, or she'd have perfect resume. So nothing not to like about her. I mean, she kicks well clear in mid-stretch in this race, and it looks like she's home and dry. And then Fraudulent Charge, who was the longest shot on the board at 9-1 in a 4-horse field, ran absolutely huge rally there, almost got the money, and was well clear of everybody else. So Fraudulent Charge might be one you keep a little bit of an eye on going forward. That was a really big effort against the horse who's really good. Street Loot, the running time of this race was faster than the boys' race going 7-8. So they were moving out here. The Street Loot is really good, and that was a nice effort from the runner-up.
Yeah, Lacey Gaudette, the runner-up, Fraudulent Charge, Lacey Gaudette and Team Gaudette. And I wonder, we'll know after this one puts a couple more races on the resume, but I wonder if they're going to like wipe their brow a little bit and think, yeah, we got away with one. The career debut was a win in a maiden claimer, and they wound up taking the horse home. But I wonder, as they say, a couple of more races like this down the road, whether they might say, phew, we lucked out in that debut effort that nobody jumped in and took the horse.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, she, you know, the way she won that debut by 6 lengths, and then comes right back and runs a huge one here against, you know, Street Loot is clearly the best 2-year-old filly on the grounds, and just miss against her. Yeah, they got to be, sometimes you roll the dice, and sometimes you don't know what you have, and
they only paid $25 for the
horse. I'm not sure what the answer is there.
So
if you lose the horse for 40, you lose it for 40.
Yeah.
No biggie. But clearly, I don't think she'll be seeing the claiming ranks anytime soon at this point.
All right, let's turn the page to the Anne Arundel County, 1/16. These are 2-year-olds as well. First couple of races, we saw 2-year-old sprinters. The next couple of races, we'll look at 2-year-olds going 2 turns, 1/16. This one for the 2-year-old ladies, and it's going to be Miss Leslie, the number 7 horse, as the second choice at 5-2. The Grass is Blue was the 7-5 favorite. That number 2 horse will run 3rd in here. In between those two is number 8, Bucky's Charm, at 9-2 as the 3rd choice. So the top 3 choices got up there and were 1, 2, 3, just in a little bit of a juggled order. But Miss Leslie had come in off a 2-race win streak, claimed 2 starts back, and in that trainer's battle, this was notable because it is Claudio Gonzalez, 2nd start off the claim, and they wind up with a stakes winner. Nice move there. Nice claim.
Yeah, that works out pretty well. Actually, interesting thing here is Claudio won 2 stakes on the day. We'll see the Native Dancer that he wins with Harper's First Ride later on the card. Both of them are horses that he claimed out of maiden wins at kind of mid-level prices. This one's 25, Harper's First Ride is 30. And clearly he's got his claiming hat on and is doing that pretty astutely. This horse looks good. I mean, they claimed her out of that maiden win. She turns right around, wins by 7 lengths in an allowance race. And this was a tussle here, certainly a three-way photo that she came through in between to get. And So, you know, this is another one that looks like another good claim for Claudio. We say that a lot here in Maryland, another good claim for Claudio. And certainly they're having some fun with this horse.
And we should note, the horse that ran third, the 7-5 favorite, was a Chad Brown winner, Louis Lazanero, and a horse that had won at Keeneland a couple of starts back. Had a little bit of a dud in a Keeneland stakes race subsequently, but looked pretty good there. You know, it was a ding-dong battle, a chart margin there ahead amongst those top three. So to wind up on the right end of that was a nice performance from Miss Leslie. Let's look at the two-year-old boys going two turns in the Howard County. And in this one, it's going to be number five, Shaq Queen King, getting it done at 2-1 as the second choice. Market cap, the 9-5 favorite, winds up fourth. Ain't De Beer Cold, like that name, at 6-1, winds up second. And Irwan winds up third in here. But again, Shaq Queen King getting it done for career win number two and career start number four. A couple of wins, couple of second place finishes, and yet another ding-dong. I mean, this is really a ding-dong battle. Chart margin is a nose, and it was a skinny nose there for Shaq Queen King in the Howard County.
Yeah, this is a heck of a horse race. I mean, these two horses hooked up after three quarters of a mile, and they didn't have anything between them the entire way. You know, part of the turn and the entire way in the lane. I mean, this was really a good horse race. And you know, this is the kind of race where you kind of say, well, a dead heat would be a just outcome here. But Shaq Queen King gets it done. Ain't To Be Or Cold, I thought, just ran a really bang-up race there. You know, was resilient after getting headed and seeming to be tiring, fought back, and ends up just missing by a nose there while clear of Irwan in second. So certainly, you know, an interesting thing in this race, too, is, as you said, Shaq Queen King was second last time out to Hello Hot Rod going a mile. Hello Hot Rod does not race here. I mean, that race was just 13 days ago, so that may be the logic. That's another Brittany Russell horse, Hello Hot Rod, who won pretty easily against Shaq Queen King, so got to think he's going to have something to say about the boys, at least on the grounds here, going two turns.
Yeah, certainly flattered that one going forward, you would have to think. All right, let's turn the page once again on a really nice stakes card yesterday at Laurel. The Willa on the move, fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, sprinting a quick six furlongs, and we're going to take a look at the winner here. Don't Let Sweet Fool You, another Lacey Gaudette trainee coming off, what, a four-race win streak prior to this, including a stakes race prior. So number one, Don't Let Sweet Fool You gets it done as the winner. Hibiscus Punch, the number six, at 21-1 runs second, and Malibu Mischief at 3-1, the number five, runs third. But a nice win here. Chart margin 2.25. So coming down the stretch, no sweating here for the Lacey Gaudette trainee. Don't Let Sweet Fool You in the Willa on the move.
Yeah, this horse, she's fast. She's really, really good. This was the first of three stakes wins on the day for Heavy on Toledo. So he had a huge day to cap off the racing year. But this filly, you know, it's interesting. She had run a couple times as a two-year-old last year. Okay, you know, nothing great. She was fifth. She was third, maiden special weight. And Lacey said that, you know, after the second of those, she basically said to the owners, look, if you want to continue running this horse right now, you know, we're going to have to drop in the claiming ranks to find a race we can win. But if you want to wait, you know, I think she's got the talent to win a maiden special weight. And so they said, let's wait. And they put her away. She came back in June, was third, then won a maiden race by 9 lengths. Now has won 5 in a row, including 2 stakes, and looks like a horse. You know, I mentioned Hello Beautiful earlier. I think this is another horse that looks like a horse that could be in the Fritchie in February. I mean, she's that good. She's very, very fast. And this, you know, it's notable in this race. She goes right to the lead. She's getting pressed by Malibu Mischief. Malibu Mischief had won 6 races in a row coming into this. And this horse, Don't Let Sweet Fool You, pretty much just shrugs her off and goes on and wins by a couple of lengths. So, you know, she's moving out. This was a good effort.
Yeah, Malibu Mischief, owned and trained by Rudy Rodriguez, who came down from New York to face off yesterday in the Willa on the Move. But, yeah, as you were talking, I was looking at the PPs, and applause to the connections for the patience, because really you look, and as a buyer guy, those two starts as a two-year-old last year just don't stack up anywhere near the three-year-old season. So they had the patience laid off from November of last year until the middle of June of this year, and this horse has just been a completely different three-year-old. So, again, applause to them for that kind of patience to be able to sit on the sidelines and wait for this horse to become what she was destined to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, that can be the hardest thing as an owner is to wait. And but, you know, they paid real money for this horse. It's a $160,000 auction purchase, and it makes sense to wait. And in this case, it doesn't usually work out quite as well as it's worked out so far with this one. But she's, she has now actually earned more this year than she cost. So, so they're making progress here. So, but yeah, you're right. The patience, a real virtue in horse ownership, and in this case, really paying off.
Yeah, and as you say, it always doesn't work out, and it's tough to do. And I would say more often than not, they probably don't have the patience, and which you can understand. The horse is eating the oats and whatnot in the meantime, but worked out for them there, certainly. So congratulations. Sixth race to Dave's Friend. I remember Dave's Friend. I like to see names like that pop up again in some of these stakes races. But the Dave's Friend for the three-year-olds and up, going six furlongs. Nice little field in here, and it's going to wind up to be Where She Told Me to Go. Another nice name on the day, Where She Told Me to Go, for Brittany Russell. So she winds up with a stakes win as well. As you mentioned, some notable owners on this one that are attracting the attention and pointing towards Brittany Russell. It's Mattaquette, it's Marshall Graham and 10 Strike Racing, part of the ownership. And we can see number six, Where She Told Me to Go, kind of moving by the leaders and getting it done. Chart Margin was 3/4 of a length. Taco Supreme second. Penguin Power third in here. But a nice win to continue the win streak. This was the third win in the last three starts for Where She Told Me to Go.
Yeah, back-to-back stakes wins. This horse is run really well right now. I think Taco Supreme maybe had a little bit the worst of the trip, kind of had to wait in behind horses for a minute in the stretch before getting clear, and that may have told the tale in this race, but take nothing away from Where She Told Me to Go. He's running really, really well right now. And, this was a race where the top pair were at the end, were last and second to last after a quarter mile. So you've got to give also a little bit of a nod to Penguin Power, who was part of the early pace and was the only one of the early pace who stuck around to the end. So pretty good effort for him. He's a West Virginia horse for Jeff Runco, who had, been beaten up on the Charlestown stakes, West Virginia bred stakes horses, but he hadn't seen a field like this before and gave a really good account of himself in this spot.
And you mentioned Heavy on Toledo having multiple wins yesterday. This was one of them, but I'm looking at my PPs in the racing form. Sheldon Russell, obviously with the Brittany Russell horse, was originally named. Did he not ride yesterday?
No, he was off his mounts yesterday.
Okay. Then that makes sense then that he misses a stakes win with the wife. The Native Dancer came up as race seven on the card yesterday, and this is three-year-olds and up going a mile and an eighth. Nice field in here. I mean, this Mid-Atlantic handicap division is fun, and year in and year out, there are horses in here who are just intriguing to watch in races like this. The winner in this edition of the Native Dancer is going to be number four, Harper's First Ride, who is coming off a win in the Richard Small last time, so backs up a couple of stakes wins. Forewarned, the number six, runs second. And Cordmaker, who's a really nice stakes runner, doesn't have a win yet this year, but Cordmaker certainly has a nice record to go on his resume other than the goose egg this year. But that one winds up third. Harper's First Ride getting it done, as I say, going back-to-back with stakes victories.
Yeah, I'd mentioned earlier he was a $30,000 claim last in September of 2019 out of a maiden race that he won. He's gone on to win over 500,000 since then, almost 500 this year. He's won seven times. He's won four stakes. I mean, he's really, really good right now. And he and Angel Cruz really have some kind of connection going. And this was another one where, Cruz said, basically you had to, a stretching out sprinter and needs supervision who goes to the early lead, and Saratoga Jack goes to the early lead, and he just kind of sits off it and goes when he wants to go, and you know, clearly best in here. Cordmaker, you got to feel sorry for. I mean, he's earned over $500,000 in his career, so he's a legitimate racehorse. He's now finished behind Harper's First Ride 5 consecutive races. I think he'll be looking for a spot without Harper's First Ride next time. So, kind of a tough year for him, but he's still running good races. Nothing wrong with the performance he's given here. And, you know, at the head of the lane, it looks like he might go on and win this race, and then he empties out a little bit to be third. So, still a pretty good effort, but, Harper's First Ride is the horse right now.
Yeah, nice claim. And at 3 starts back, won the Pimlico Special. Now 8-10 racing at Laurel, Harper's First Ride. And you got paid for all that information because it was a $2.40 victory. Exactly. But legitimately so, I suppose, given what talent he had. Finally, let's take a look at the Allaire DuPont Grade 3 event for the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth. And in here it'd be Heiress 2, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for Arnaud Delacour getting it done for win number 3. In start number 3 in 2020. So it's been a very productive season for this one. Javier Toledo on board again. So capping off his stakes victories for the day. Wicked Awesome runs second. Another Broad runs third. The winner was the 3-5 favorite in here. And it is a chart margin as we watch the stretch run. They come at him, but I don't know if you had the winner, whether you had any sweat on your brow there, because he holds him off by a chart margin of a length.
Yeah, I think she kind of kicked well clear, and then she didn't switch leads, and Toledo said he was getting worried about that a little bit, and they were chopping into the margin, but as you said, they never got so close that you really needed to sweat it, and this horse has gotten really good. Steve Asmussen had her last year as a 2- and 3-year-old last year and the year before, and clearly liked her, you know, put her in the Rachel Alexandra, put her in the Fairgrounds Oaks. She ran okay in those races, but nothing great. But she's come back this year in the Delacour barn and been lights out. As you said, 3-for-3, now 2 stakes wins, won the 38 Go-Go pretty easily, won this fairly easily. She's turning into the horse that I think Asmussen thought he had, but you know, they couldn't quite figure it out, I guess. But she has now really become that horse. Big effort, I thought, from Wicked Awesome, who was a little bit of a long shot here at 11-1, closing in for second. And another Broad, as you said, has now lost, I think, 14 races in a row, but is along for third.
And again, a nice stakes card yesterday at Laurel, and some names to watch going forward. Certainly on those two-year-old side of things, some nice races and some nice performances that will be worth tucking in our back pocket and watching. Frank, as always, appreciate the visit, and I have pulled up theracingbiz.com, and I see plenty of recaps if folks want to go back and read some more about the races yesterday. Also, there are some picks available for Laurel this afternoon and much, much more if people want to jump on the Racing Biz. But again, always appreciate the visit, and we will certainly check in again, because as I say, that Laurel stakes schedule during the winter I think is phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it should be fun. And you know, we're talking about the Fritchie. They got the Fritchie and the General George in February, so that's kind of the highlight of the meet. But it's always fun, you know. It's always fun to have all these big days, and you get some of these nice horses coming in from here and there, and see how the local guys stack up against them. So it's always fun. So we always look forward to that.
Oh, and I also wanted to ask you. I said I went to your Twitter feed, and there was the one tweet that it was wishing everybody a Merry Christmas from the Racing Biz, but it was kind of a slow-mo walk into a decorated front door. Is that your front door?
That is, in fact, our
good job. That was very, very nicely decorated. Good job.
Well, thank you. We did the whole, you know, with everybody being home all the time now, we did the whole festive house of Christmas routine. So, Yeah. The only thing, we even got the ceramic dog there, so to go along with the two real dogs that we had.
As they say.
So thank you. Thank you.
Very good. People can go to the Racing Biz Twitter feed and check that out for themselves. Frank, again, appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
My pleasure. Happy New Year.
Frank Vespi from theracingbiz.com. Again, check it out for coverage of racing in the Mid-Atlantic region. Frank and team do a great job. All right, we're going to wrap things up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I've been kind of watching. They have not yet kicked off the pregame at Gulfstream, and we'll go to that. And again, I'll remind people, I mentioned it a couple times yesterday, but if you're looking, hey, where's Aqueduct today? New York is on the holiday break. They'll be back Thursday, New Year's Eve, Aqueduct back in the mix, but they're just on the holiday break right now, so no Aqueduct racing this weekend, but they will be back sooner rather than later, Thursday, New Year's Eve. Once again, New Year's Eve is also a bankroll here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Keep that in mind. If you'd like to swing down on Thursday, I'll have $300 to play on behalf of a team that will be randomly selected during the afternoon. Come down, put your name in the hat, and you can jump on board for the bankroll on Thursday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Today you can come to the Clubhouse Racebook and watch all the football action. Enjoy the football action and racing action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. NFL Sundays, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I am going to jump out. And again, I'm just kind of watching. It looks like maybe they're starting to fire things up down at Gulfstream. So I'll wrap it up. I'll be back with first post time, I think 12:05 again today at Gulfstream. It is. So I'll be back in a little less than an hour or so to kick off OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. Had a fun day yesterday. Thought we gave out some okay opinions that maybe you could have plugged into your mix and cashed some tickets. That's what it's all about. We'll try to do more of the same this afternoon. I appreciate your tuning in this morning. And again, about an hour or so, we'll be back with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So stay tuned. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.